Disappointing people.
With Don and MJ.
And here we are. First episode.
Very first episode.
So, what do you bring to the table today?
Well, you were mentioning before the show that we were talking, or you mentioned the show of South Park, Eat, Pray, and
Queef. Yes.
And, well, why don't you tell me about Eat, Pray, Queef?
Well, I just, I never used to like South Park because it was just so ridiculous.
I didn't like South Park either.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I thought the show was, like, for retarded stoners. And, but I've seen so many episodes that they actually have a message and stuff. Like, when they called John Edwards the biggest douche in the universe.
Yeah.
Totally is.
Oh, yeah. And look what they did with Kanye very recently.
Yes, you know, Kanye.
Like, I think, apparently, that was the only thing that actually got through to him, was when he saw himself on South Park acting like such an asshole.
Having tips of fish.
He was like, maybe I do need to tone it down a little bit. Obviously didn't work, but that's what he said to a reporter.
Whatever.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Kanye West is going to do whatever the fuck he wants.
I know.
And he knows that people are going to comment on him. And, you know, did you see the thing with Jay Leno? After the VMAs?
No, I didn't watch it.
Basically, Jay Leno was there, and he was like, Jay Leno was interviewing Kanye, and he was like, what would your mother say? And it was just this long
I'm surprised pause. Kanye didn't, like, jack him in the face.
Kanye was, like, really thinking about it and stuff. It's just an uncomfortable moment. Like, it's not a therapist session.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, you never know. I mean, like, the late-night talk shows are... I'm actually kind of surprised. I would have thought Jay Leno would have torn him apart. Like, did he?
No. No, he talked about how bad it was to do that or whatever, and then he was like, what would your mother think and stuff. Kanye's dead mom.
Yeah, first of all. And second of all, you figure what the type of guy Kanye is. Like, you know, all I'm the best and I'm the shit.
Yeah,
I figured he would have been like, you know, get the fuck out of here, Leno.
Yes, but I would say this. Black guys love their mothers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you bring them up, and especially a dead one. And
she's like, pretty recently dead, too.
And recently dead, too. So it's kind of a hurtful kind of thing. And
I suppose.
You think about it.
I guess, basically, kind of a poor choice by Leno, essentially.
Yeah, because it seemed just a little, not insensitive, right. But just seemed uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And a little insensitive.
Back to South Park, though, the thing I was saying is that somehow sometime within the last, like, 2 years, it's become this extreme satire. Every episode seems to have a message, and it's usually, not only do they deliver it in such an entertaining way, but it's a message that's pertinent to what's going on in the world. And this one not being anything big, but they started joking about how farts are funny. At least to guys. And queefs are not. Queefs are gross. Something to be avoided at all costs.
Right.
And just the ways that they went around portraying it, like, queefing became the next big thing. Terrence and Phillip, if you've ever seen the show,
they're like the
kids show.
Right.
The Canada Network kicked them off the network and replaced them with the Queef Sisters, who basically did the exact same thing Terrence and Phillip did, except the farts were all queefs.
Right.
And the entire world becomes obsessed with queefing, so much to the point that Martha Stewart... on her show, shows all these ridiculous ways that you can decorate your queefs and make them more homey.
Yeah, and like there's like sparkles and stuff.
She just blows confetti.
Here's the thing. I don't think women find queefing funny. I know women don't find fart funny.
Some of them kind of do.
Some of them do. There was that one that you liked, that you remember the one for the one class we had together, and there was the redhead who thought the fart was funny.
Which redhead?
The one who was like an elf and did for voiceover or for animation stuff. Remember?
Yes.
Farts were funny.
Yeah.
And you fell in love immediately.
No, the thing was, she couldn't stop making fart noises.
Oh, okay.
It was her thing.
Well,
she obviously thought they were funny, but she couldn't stop.
The thing is,
yeah, I did fall in love with her immediately.
Who wouldn't? You know what I mean?
That's a rare quality right there.
I mean,
was like, holy shit.
And you can do one of those, like, what is it, Danish ovens or whatever, with the mattress or with the, you remember that?
No, please enlighten me.
When the two of you are sleeping in a bed or whatever, and you put, you have like a blanket or whatever, you put a, you fart in there.
Oh.
And then you force them to stay in.
Oh, yeah. That's Danish blanket. That's a regular Danish night is what that is.
Oh, yeah? For you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I would do that to anybody. But here's the thing. Women don't find farts funny.
No.
I find them hilarious.
Of course.
You find them hilarious.
I've never met a guy who thinks that they're like... a guy can say that he doesn't think they're funny, but if when it happens, he's going to crack a smile.
Of course, because it's hilarious. And I don't know what it's about. I mean, it might be because it's all the fun, it's all the smell of shit without all the bad parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the noise. There's a little noise accompanying it. It's like a little announcement.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Here it comes.
Exactly.
Right.
Here I am.
Right.
So, yeah.
But I don't think women find queefing very funny.
No, definitely not. As a matter of fact, I think they're very self-conscious about
it. Of course they are.
Like, extremely.
So, the premise of them, like, just loving it and stuff is ridiculous. Of course. But I would say this. I don't mind queefing, you know, during the intercourse. Who cares?
I don't care, but I'm not, I mean, I don't prefer it.
Well, I don't prefer it either, but I don't, well.
I mean, hey, I think farts are funny, but I don't, like, I wouldn't fart during sex. Or if I do, I try.
69, just in your face?
Yeah. See, I try and avoid that.
Of course you do. Yeah. But the thing is, I think, well, here's the thing. Queefing, any kind of laughter during sex kills the mood.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Not necessarily.
When would it not?
Well, it's not when you're not laughing at something. Like, if you and this other person are both, like, you can both enjoy, if you have the same mindset, like, you can enjoy something humorous that happens, like, during sex. Well, you can, like, smile, have, like, a little laugh. Like, you're not, like, if you're not going to be rolling around on the bed, like, beside each other, like, laughing. And then just, like,
get into it.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Right. Okay, that's great.
No, well, what would you say, then say, what would be the case when you're both laughing but doesn't kill the mood? I can't think of anything.
Actually, I would say a girl who's not self-conscious about queefing, you could both share like a little laugh about that and then end up just continuing because it's still in like
the same thing. I think it's one of those things that you just pretend doesn't happen, or pretend isn't happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Pretend it doesn't happen.
I know. And that's so like...
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
Because you like to...
And I'm just one of those people that never... usually does that, like, pretends things don't happen, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, ask anybody, like, little things that everybody, in everyday social situations that other people just glaze over like they didn't happen,
right.
I'll harp on them. I will pick them up and, like, let everybody know that I just picked them up, you know right. what I mean?
Like when I farted them in class and
yeah, exactly.
You just mentioned to everybody.
And I just told everyone
or
about
or when someone makes a bad joke and you're just like, that wasn't funny.
I know.
That's mean, though.
It's not mean. It teaches them not to make bad jokes.
But here's the thing. You're not batting 1,000. You're going to make some bad jokes every once in a while, right?
Well, it's been a while for me.
Oh, yeah?
Since I made a bad joke.
I know I make plenty of bad jokes.
You do make bad jokes all the time. So I'm sorry that you feel that. I'm sorry that you feel that to me. But do you feel better because of it? When someone points out that joke is bad, you kind of... Now, you don't avoid that stuff. You know why? Because your learning curve is bad.
My learning curve is great. I think that person's a retard, and I just move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I go with. All right, so you have been single for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been single for some time now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now that being single and having chicks attracted to you is coming in waves. And I'll tell you why. I work at the airport,
mm-hmm.
and there are three chicks that I work with and one chick that works for another company, but I've seen her around, and she's attractive.
Are all these women, like... around your age?
Yes.
Okay.
Not 40.
Well, I was just saying.
I'm not
mean,
going
like,
after...
I'm just saying, I gotta narrow it down, because if you're gonna use this as an example that I think you're going to use, the age is a factor. But continue.
Okay, well, I'll tell you... Well, here's the thing. Okay. There's two Muslim chicks, one black chick, and then there's the white chick who I've never talked to, and I'll just forget about her.
Okay.
The thing is, the two Muslim chicks are definitely into me. Okay? One name is Farah, and she is a spinner, basically. She is a petite, very thin 20-year-old. The other one is...
She works at the same store you work at?
Yeah. She just started working there, like, past month. And so the thing is, though, she's been flirting with me.
Yeah.
And it's been laying on pretty thick.
Good.
Right? Now, here's the thing. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, well, I thought to myself last week, all right, this keeps up. I'm going to ask her a number on a Friday or whatever.
What sort of flirting, I guess? Like what?
Just, you know, the regular stuff, like teasing each other, all that kind of stuff and whatnot, because I'm in first grade, as usual. Putting her face in the mud. That's how I display my love for women.
Not putting her face in your crotch? You're not doing that yet?
No. Well, that's what I'm expecting to happen later. But you don't do that.
That's flirting, yeah.
That's not flirting. Putting your face in your crotch isn't flirting.
When you just grab the back of their head, you're just laughing, you're having a good time, both you guys are smiling, and all of a sudden you just grab her head and just force it there. That's flirting. They both know.
I think they call it...
Yeah, right. you guys both know that it's all good fun.
Well, I would do that. I think it's very fun. She'd be like, you're a rapist.
Yeah.
And sexual harassment. And then I get fired.
She'd slap you with a lawsuit. And
right.
And just blown all chances you had.
And so the other one is, her name's Yesrib, another Muslim chick. And she's...
What would you call her? What would you call her when you guys are banging? That's what I want to know.
Well, here's the thing. Now, yes, Rube. She does prefer to be called by Yasmin. So I could just move that to Jasmine and then pretend I'm Aladdin and I'm thieving the pussy away from her.
You would like that a lot, wouldn't you?
I would love... First of all, I loved Aladdin because...
Well, who didn't? I mean, come on.
Mainly because of Jasmine.
Mainly because Robin Williams was the genie.
No, no. I'm sure I found him funny as a kid, but Apu and the magic carpet.
Apu?
No, that's from The Simpsons.
Yes.
And Apu is the monkey, which is kind of racist if you think about it. And but the point, and the carpet, which was a dog.
Dog-like. It's a magic carpet. It had dog-like tendencies.
Yeah.
It's a Disney movie. What do you
Whatever.
Mean? Everything's a character.
But anyways, okay, so her name's Yasmin. And, okay, she's attractive. She has that attractive face.
Uh-huh.
Kind of chunky.
Oh.
She's chunky.
What would you say her weight is at? And height. So I can...
She's about 5'6". Mm-hmm. I'd say... 260, maybe 270.
Really?
Wait a second. No, 160.
Oh my Sorry. God!
I just did the bad math there.
Yeah, I was about to say.
She's probably like 180.
Okay.
Like 180.
Okay.
And so the thing is, kind of chunky. But here's the thing.
180, really? Or just remember, girls are a little bit, like, even though they might be that dense, they're a little bit lighter than guys.
Well, then she's like 200 pounds then. Okay. Because she's chunky.
Oh my God. Right?
And so here's the thing. I like Indian food, which is probably the reason why I like Indian women. And I was mentioning the fact that I like Indian food. She's like, "Oh, I'm really good cook." I was like, "Oh, really?" And she's like, "Yeah, I cook a lot of Indian food, and I'm really good at it." I was just like, "All right, come on, sister, you don't have to do this shit." Just laying it out like, "Hey, I'm out there. I can totally cook for you if you're into like that." And I'm just like, "Oh my
God." She might not have been laying it out there. Maybe she was.
No, she was. Right.
She's a fat Muslim girl. You think she's probably just like, "Oh God, I love food and I cook it so good."
No, now here's the thing. She said she used to be skinny. So I think that she just became overweight because of...
How old is she?
By my age, probably 22, 23.
Yeah. Well, that could easily be the college thing, you know, the freshman 15.
But yeah.
I gotta tell you, that has since, you know, being in college, that has proven so true. Especially with girls, like God, yeah. I don't know that many guys who fluctuated anything like that much. But girls, there's just something strange about it. Like after high school, they shoot up. They almost always shoot up at least 15 pounds, sometimes more.
I think it's partially because you've moved from going somewhere, doing a sport all the time, or running, and then to being in your dorm room,
eating shit, drinking all like the time,
drinking beer,
and not being active,
and not doing anything.
True.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, the thing is, I would just, yeah. So she was hitting on me, and then the other thing was, there's this black chick named Danielle, and same name as my sister, which is a little uncomfortable, but whatever. And she's all right, but she's not, just a little bit psycho. And the thing is, she asked me if I ate pussy yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. She asked me if I ate... What?
This is recent.
This is very recent, right. I was like, yeah, I do. I do. I was like...
I get down on it. Yeah. I eat it like a delicacy.
Right. I love my tuna curry and whatnot.
Oh, my God.
Don't I call it that?
No. Tuna curry... Well, yeah. I just avoid
tuna
comparing curry
Indians.
With that anyway. Yeah, exactly. Tuna curry is for the Indians.
Right. Chocolate tuna.
Yeah.
Black chicks? Vanilla tuna? Or just regular tuna sandwich?
What's strawberry tuna?
That's a redhead.
It's a red... Yeah, it is.
That's a redhead.
It could be spicy tuna.
No. Strawberries aren't spicy.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, a redhead could be spicy tuna.
It doesn't work then.
Yeah. Latina. Spicy
well,
tuna.
Well, that's a taco. That's a tuna taco.
Fish taco.
Well, it's got to stay with the tuna, though. But
tuna's fish.
I know, but it's specifically... Because it could be salmon.
All right.
And do we always call it tuna just because it smells like tuna when it's yeasted up?
You're the first person who's calling it
really?
Tuna to me, yeah.
You never heard that?
No, I call it, fish, if anything.
No, I call it tuna. And I'll tell you what, there's a website called, well, I shouldn't call it a website. Well, the website's called Hollywood Tuna, and it's all about celebrities.
Nice.
But there you go, Hollywood Tuna, Hollywood Vagina. I'm sure there's other people that call it tuna, because I'm not the person who's called it that.
All right, well.
And it smells like tuna, let's be honest.
Specifically?
Well, just fishy. And kind
I know, that's bad. My point, is that it's...
The vagina is like a petri dish, and...
I know.
It's just a vinegar-filled,
yep.
Disgusting, should get that thing sealed up.
Sealed up?
Well, open it enough so that I can fit in there, but the moisture...
so the kids can come out.
The vinegar. No. C-sections and whatnot. I don't care about that stuff. All right, so okay, she asked me if I eat pussy.
Right.
And I said yes. And I do. And I was like, well, black guys usually don't eat pussy. Because they don't. I don't know why black guys don't eat pussy.
Really?
They really don't. I'm sure there's some that do, but majority, they're not down for that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just don't eat pussy.
That just... That
blows,
just...
It blows a white guy's mind.
Yeah, it really does.
I know.
Because I actually enjoy it.
I know.
Depending. No, well, don't get me wrong. There are obvious circumstances that will deter me
right.
from doing that.
There's some bad agendas out there.
Oh my god, yeah. But let me just say...
spreading open the curtains.
Right.
It's like, when are these ending? You
True.
Just keep moving.
And what am I supposed to do here?
Right.
I need a bib. But, right. yeah, no, otherwise, I will say, with except for some extremes, I'm usually definitely down
That's
for
right.
that.
Yeah. It's great times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's great when we pass an hour. You know, if she's lays back, you can look over her head, like, watch the TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretend like you're into it. You're like, oh, yeah. I mean, what's that, Sports Center?
It's true that. And then they're just going nuts, you know what I
all
mean?
All right, so, the thing was, she said, all right, first of all, this is her pickup line, in a sense. She said, oh,
and she's your coworker.
Yeah.
So they have no qualms about the whole working together, no dipping the pen in the company ink thing.
First of all, I've never heard that term before, but that's good.
Are you serious?
Never heard that before. You never heard the tuna before? I've never heard this dipping the pen
in the company. Don't dip your pen in the company ink is much different than tuna
tacos. No, I've
tacos.
Heard don't shit where you eat.
That is not the same.
It's the same thing.
No, it isn't. Don't shit where you eat can be applied to a lot of different
restaurants.
Things. Don't, yeah, especially restaurants. But eating. Don't dip your pen in the company ink especially refers to... No fucking between off, you know,
well, first
coworkers.
Of all, here's the problem. I work with 90% chicks, if not 95% chicks. You worked with 95%, 99% dudes.
Dudes.
Right?
Right. But now I'm working with, I would say, 70% chicks.
And aren't they all, well, aren't some of them attractive?
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't you like to dip that pen in a company?
I would like to.
I know. And if they're up for it, you would definitely do it, right?
If I didn't care at all about my job.
Why? Well, here's the thing. I had a I worked
if it was somebody who was the same, I guess, level as me. If
okay,
they were not my manager, if they were not my underling,
yeah.
If they were my, if it was
well,
two
both,
coworkers,
both, we're both, we're all three of them are.
Then I guess there's really no problem.
Right.
I was kind of thinking between, I think it's only a problem if it's between an upper class, like management
yeah.
person and
right.
just
then, like,
a
like,
peon.
You know. You're not exactly going to be fair to all of them, and you're going to take favors.
Right, exactly. And or you never know. I mean, you just never know, like, if they're actually doing it because they want to then, because
right.
it's like, okay,
and
this, this chick is
up,
not... Yeah,
then,
that is why. There
yeah.
are a lot of companies that have actually, like, rules set in
yeah.
place because emotions turn
so
things messy. Yeah.
yeah. But the thing is, you know, you spend a lot of your time at work. You spend a third of your life there.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, start fooling around with some of them.
It's very true.
Yeah.
It's like the Letterman thing, like you were just talking about, you know, Dave Letterman. If
right.
anybody hasn't heard at this point, which I'm sure you have.
Everyone has.
Letterman issued a public apology because he cheated on his wife with members of his staff.
Now, here's my thing. As bad as it was, is anyone surprised? I mean, he's a handsome guy.
He's a handsome guy. He is a steeple in late night talk show host history. I'd say he's like the only old school guy left. He's up there with like Johnny Carson. People are going to be
yeah,
talking
he's about
Letterman.
The same as Johnny Carson.
Yeah, people are. I mean, Letterman is a household name.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, Leno and like Conan O'Brien, they're out there, but they don't. Their names are like nothing compared to
and
Letterman.
And the thing is, chicks don't necessarily. I mean, chicks like guys with a good look or whatever, but they like guys who are known and are powerful.
Oh yeah.
And, or not powerful necessarily, but who are established.
Exactly.
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 And you're much better off being an ugly talk show host. Like, if someone like Jay Leno, and he got in a car accident and just messed up his face, he's still going to get more pussy than
oh, yeah.
me.
Exactly.
Deli.
Definitely. Because that you hit it right,
right.
on the head. Women are attracted.
It's partially looks, but mainly it's what can you provide for me?
I'd say, like... Looks come into it, but yeah, it's honestly like that. It's security. It's something on a whole different level. Like,
and
they are not visual. Guys, we're all visual.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, we, if a girl, like, we might clash with them personality-wise. We might think they are the stupidest,
hot.
And then they talk, like, incessantly.
Right.
But you'll date that chick for years because of how hot she is.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
and you'll hold on to that with all your, all
yeah.
your might.
She might make you miserable emotionally,
right.
but
doesn't
she
matter.
Is hot, and
right.
you just love looking at her, and that's just it. And that, right there, core difference between guys and girls. And that's why, that explains why, you know, like those questionable pairings, like you see couples down the street and you got this hot ass chick right. and she's with some like fat acne encrusted joker wearing like, you know,
capris.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. And capris and like a yarmulke or something like that. You know what I mean? Like just,
Jewish.
He's not. He just has something on his head.
Okay.
Point is that like, you know, you always wonder like, how does that guy get this dime piece right, right. here? And it's because she doesn't see that, what right. I'm seeing right now. Right. She sees something different.
Or she doesn't see it as much. She, like, noticed it, and she's like, well, whatever. I don't really care.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And guys, you cannot process that. You don't
not
care. Look.
Not at all. Not at all.
What else is left about him?
That's why 22-year-old women can go out with, like, 50-year-old politicians.
And that's, right.
And why
21-year-old guys are going to get nothing but 16-year-olds.
Yes.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Because 21-year-old guys who are 16-year-old, main man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's got a job. He has a part-time job at the comic book store.
But to her, but she's just in school. She's a high school girl.
And he's driving his parents' Taurus. Mm-hmm. But, oh boy.
He's got a job and a car.
He's got a job and a car.
That's one step away from a house and a family.
And you know, he's almost got a full beard going on.
Oh, that's something.
You know what I mean?
That's something.
As opposed to the guys in her class. What are we talking about coughing?
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody.
But the point is, but most of the guys in her school are working on their mustache.
Yeah.
Still can't get that peach fuzz going. And, like, some of the hairier guys. And they've got, you know, piece of shit hatchbacks that, you know, get 10 miles of the gallon.
Yeah.
So this is the... Okay, so, all right, first of all, the one chunky Muslim chick. I don't like when chicks wear a ton of makeup. Now, makeup is in the name. It's makeup. Right. It's supposed to hide things.
Make up for your flaws.
Well, I would say it's supposed to hide things like if you got a zit coming on, or if you got like some bags under your eyes, or that kind of stuff, hide it. If you want to make your lips redder, fine. But she's got like green shit going on the eyelid and stuff. And when chicks do green or purple or any kind of colored eyelids, no, don't
takes
like
you
it.
Right out of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like. It's too
Ursula,
much.
The
right.
sea witch.
Right, you're making yourself into a clown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And black chicks do this a lot more than anyone else.
I have to agree. I mean, trust me, I've seen it on every...
I've seen it on all white chicks as well.
But you know, I do tend to see it more.
Yeah.
There
should be... And same thing with, like, the hair dye and stuff. And they have, like, 8 different...
Long fingernails, like we were talking about. Those long, clicky things. Why do they do that?
I've never figured it out, and I cannot get a straight answer.
It's just weird.
I don't get it. But here's what I would say. I would say my advice for women is minimize your hair coloring to 2. Your natural color and 1 other one. That's it. That's it.
That's all you get.
That's all you get. 3 different colors.
We don't need rainbow
heads. I don't need a rainbow head. No. You know what I mean? I don't need 3 different colors. I don't know what's going on with your head.
I know.
You know what I mean?
How do you choose?
Right. When your hair
like redheads,
looks
but
like
you
fire.
You have a part of red.
Right.
But the rest is...
Right. Goofy. Yellow, and you got some blue in there.
Right.
You're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like an ice cream truck.
Exactly.
And you were somewhere unfortunately
right.
near
right. It's just like the bottom of the ice cream truck. It's
right.
The exhaust pipe.
And you're just...
Right.
You just got dipped.
Right. Okay, so that's the thing. I would say 2 is the limit.
So, I guess what I'm trying to ask now is this black chick is hitting on you
yes.
and such.
Okay, so the black chick's hitting on
you. Being single now, as we were talking about, you and I have been single for a couple of months,
yeah.
and we were just talking about this recently, about how after the sex starts to become less regular, your standards start to drop.
And that's why the husky Muslim chick is not looking so bad, even
right.
with all the... Yeah.
How long is it going to take before you don't mind the makeup that this black chick is...
Well, no, the black chick isn't out of the makeup. That's the Muslim chick. The husky Muslim chick
oh.
has the makeup. The black chick, not so much with the makeup. But here's what the black chick did. She's like, oh, hey...
How old's the black chick?
Probably older than me. Probably 24, maybe 23.
She attractive?
Yeah, she's about a 7 or... Yeah, maybe a 6.
Okay.
So, well, a 7 now with my, you know...
Right.
She gets up...
Of course,
as
because
every
of the
month
standards.
Go on.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
So she
naturally she's probably about a 5. Is that what you're saying?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing. She's like, Angie, what's your number? Or whatever. I told her my number. She's like, Angie, what's your number? I'm gonna text you a game. You know what I mean?
Uh huh. Wait, I don't know. No, a game.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so she texts me this game or whatever, and it's like I remember most of it. It's I'll read you exactly what it is because it's so terrible what I have to go through. She was like, describe me in 1 word using the 3rd letter of your name, first of all, she forwarded this from me to me. This is fun. Answer me, then forward and see what you get back. So basically what she wanted me to do is describe her in one word using the third letter of my name, whatever. So it's a C because for Michael, and I...
She thought about it, though.
Well, I had to think about it on the fly, and I had to do something where I just towed the line. You know what I mean?
What'd you do?
Well, here's what I put. I put crazy with confidence. Now, first of all, that's something you would describe a three-year-old as. You know what I mean? It's not, like, super cool. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's cool at all. Right, crazy. Exactly.
Crazy. With confidence. Well, I was going to put crazy because she is a little bit nutty. And I was like, with confidence.
Yeah, right. Well, I know,
hey.
I know. Either way, though, that's not really flirtation.
It's crazy, not really flirtation. Yeah. Well, here's what she texted me back. Nice and nutty and maybe a nympho. Takes me back. Nice and nutty, maybe a nympho. And partially, I'm assuming that's because I talked about, you know, how much I eat pussy. But
she asked about that, though.
Yes. And that's what she said to me. Okay, so she just crossed the line from being just like, hey, this is, you know, kind of fun and clever, to being sexual. Okay?
That's true. She definitely oriented it.
So here's what I wrote.
What'd you write? What is it?
C, again, for Michael. I wrote, could be a cock lover.
Now yeah, that you definitely returned fire.
I did return fire, and then she wrote, "Yep, yep," and I like it. My pussy ate better though. And I wrote,
"Yeah,
you were even trying that."
Yeah,
time.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. So that's okay. So that's I have to admit, I had my doubts at the beginning of this thing, the legitimacy of the flirtation.
Thank you.
But that is about as hardcore flirting as you get.
Exactly. Thank you. Now here's the thing. One of the thin Muslim
chick. It's not even flirting. I have to be honest. That's more like
sexting.
When are we going to bang?
Exactly. Okay. So here's the thing. So I'd love to get my dick sucked.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But
who wouldn't?
But it's becoming the time where it's like, you know.
Right. I know.
Warmth and vocal cords is all I need.
I know.
And the warmth is optional. So just do vocal cords. So anyways.
That means it could be a guy too.
Well, I've considered. Okay. The point is. The Muslim thin chick, I'd rather date. I'd rather date her, and then eventually, you know. Here's I don't know what the Muslims are with the dating and the sex and the.
The Muslims are like, if you date her.
Yeah,
it's
I know,
much
but she's
married.
Not with that because she's talking about how she's gonna drink when she's 21. She doesn't wear any of that hairnet or like that stupid burqa thing.
The girl that I know, the Muslim girl,
yeah.
She doesn't wear that either. She drinks, she smokes, she gets down and everything like that. But she's also in an engaged marriage.
Now here's the thing. But the Muslims. Can we let go of that one part? Can we let go of everything else?
That guy doesn't even live here. That guy lives in Dubai. She sees him once a year, maybe. And she has been engaged to him for, I think, at least like a year and a half.
And I don't give a shit if it's cultural or religious. It is retarded.
And she is your age.
And attractive.
She just turned 21. She's very attractive. She's about 5'3". Very short. She's got to be, like, I'd say she's got D's easily.
Oh, that's making it worse.
And she's just, I mean, she's in decent shape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's, yeah, she's, everything else is pretty thin.
What the fuck? Seriously.
I don't know.
Can we get the Muslims on this? I'm sure they're loving it, getting seven wives and whatnot, and be like, yeah, let's go, you know? But
it's unfair, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I know, and here's the thing. I think that she would be... First of all, she's flirting with me, so she obviously wants to date me. But the thing is, I don't know what's going to go on. You know what I mean? So if... And here's the thing. This place is such a full of goddamn gossipers that if I was to get the D sucked by the black chick,
right.
I'm sure it'd be... And then it's just all my chances.
Oh, yeah.
With the...
That is the problem I have at Banana Republic. I know for a fact that if I hooked up with somebody there... Again, if. And that is why I wouldn't. And thankfully, like, luckily enough for me, most of them are actually in a relationship. So, like, there's not a whole lot of flirting going on like that. There is. There is flirting.
Really?
It's just not as hardcore, and it's not...
You're not talking about her being a cock lover and whatnot?
Yeah.
You didn't mention that?
No, I don't talk to anybody like that. But I will tell you, there is a black chick there. She is good looking. And she, ironically enough, she does do a lot of similar stuff as that. Like, I was working with her in the back room yesterday for like two and a half hours. She just would not stop coming up with like random topics for conversation, and a lot of them were like
sexual.
I would say more relationship oriented.
Okay.
Which makes me even more weirded out. You know what I mean? Like it's not
like what?
Like she was talking about how some like She first said, you know, like, what, you know, when you approach a girl, you know, like, do you get nervous? Like, what do you do? How do you, what's the difference? And then she goes, like, what's the difference between, like, flirting and like, just regular talking and stuff like that? And then later on, she was, like, she started talking about how some guy, she found out, like, some guy was, like, cheating on his wife with, like, two different girls. And then one of those girls informed the wife and the other chick.
Yeah.
And she's, like... You know, what do you think that? What do you think about that situation? And so the point is, basically, I'm sitting there in silence because that's pretty much like how we work in the soccer.
Shut up, it's me and this other dude.
When me and the dudes work back there, it's fun times. Like, we'll sit there and we won't talk for like half an hour. Right. And when we do talk, we'll talk for like 45 minutes solid, right, talking about the girls that work there, talking about sports, talking about the girls that work there. You know, we'll just talk about, you know, like, everything and anything. Right. It's great. That's fantastic. Right. But with this chick, you just, not just with her, but like, it's like, oh, with any chick, you just, when you're talking to them, you just don't know what they're thinking. There's always some other agenda that's in their head when they ask you these questions. It's like one of those job applications where they ask you, like, you know, how are your skills with people or something like that?
You're what's your worst quality?
Yeah, you know, they ask you these questions and you're just like, what is your double meaning? Like, what is your angle here?
I have to get everything done.
Why? Yeah. You're like, what do I say that's going to make... It's going to take me to the next level.
Right, that's
going to
take it from being a bad quality to a good quality for some reason. Right. Yeah. I don't like when women... If I had my way, women would not be friends with guys.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Because there's always...
It makes it so difficult. Like, that's why... And oddly enough, I've never seen this movie, and I'm about to do something I usually don't do. Talk about this movie that I've never seen.
I do that all the time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. But I usually don't. But this, in this particular case, and I've seen parts of it, but it's When Harry Met Sally.
Okay.
And I've heard it referenced so many times, and I know so many people who have watched it. Apparently, the basic premise of the movie, or the basic message, is that girls and guys can't be friends because sex will always get in the way.
Totally agree.
I know that at least that's Billy Crystal's character's argument, and I don't know if he gets proven wrong or what, or if he changes his mind at the end of the movie. I really don't give a shit, because that part, I totally agree with.
Yeah.
Is that guys and girls, I mean, like, trust me, like, I spent my life, like, growing up in the friend zone, like, when I was a little fatty kid, you know?
You were a fatty.
Yeah. When I, from, like, you know, when I started noticing girls, you know, like, fifth grade or something like that, all the way through, like, the first 2 years of high school... I would talk to these girls. There was a girl that I talked to on the phone, like, all the time for, like, half a year, almost every night. And, like, you know what she would talk to me about most of the time?
Guys.
Other guys.
Other guys. Right, and you think to yourself, well, I'm biding my time.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Or if she's dating someone, when she breaks up with this guy, I know, I'm gonna move right in.
But it's, you can't.
Never happens.
No, ever. And that, like, it takes so long, or sometimes it takes, like, a really messed up situation to finally, like, teach you that type of thing.
And guys need to know, like, I was telling my boss, she's got a son, and I was telling her, listen, get your son into two things. Get him into soccer, for one reason. It's obscure enough of a sport that, you know, most people aren't going to, like, know about it, or he's not going to have much competition until he gets to, like, the higher levels or whatever. But also, get him in shape, and girls love soccer, guys.
Yeah, they do.
And get him learning guitar.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Exactly.
I was like, you get him an instrument.
Get him a band.
Guitar specifically.
You know what I mean? Like,
soccer player as playing guitar in a band. Right. Like, he would get more ass than he knew what to do with.
Chicks really don't like drummers as much because guys are like, and just bounding away at stuff at all times.
That's true.
But, you know, guy writes some piece of shit lyric and poem or whatever and just like,
That's all it takes.
And, you know, and then she's like, oh my God.
They fall in love with themselves.
Right, and it's like three lines, and it was Stairway to Heaven.
It doesn't matter, because he's a sensitive guy now.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
And he wrote, and then he writes some shitty-ass thing about the man keeping him down and stuff. You're like, who's keeping you down? You're 14.
Yeah.
Who's keeping you down?
The other thing is that, I guess this just kind of makes me think about it this way. It's such a double-edged sword, you know, like when, like, women... manipulate guys so bad, because, like, you think about what you were just saying, girls, you know, like, they don't care about, like, looking as far as the sex thing goes. They might not be as horny as guys are, or they don't think about it as much, but they get all mad and say, like, whenever they're in an argument or whenever they're mad about something and they want to, you know, bring the guy down or something like that, they'll just start talking about how they use them for sex or, you know, the guys use them. Women use these guys that you and I were just talking about, this friend zone guys, like guys use those
not for sex,
booty
but for
calls.
Emotional.
Exactly.
Right.
Emotional booty calls.
Right.
That's what it is. That is what, like, being in the friend zone gets you. You're an emotional booty call. As a guy, you want the regular booty call.
Of course.
She wants the emotional booty call. That is essentially what a relationship is.
Yeah.
Both parties getting what they want.
Right.
That is why booty calls...
But eventually when we grow up... I mean, right now we're 21 and assholes. But
yeah,
when we grow up, it's actually going to become some kind of relationship and whatnot. But for now, that's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
It's emotional booty calls. And from, like, 12, and once you hit that pube, that first little bit, what is that?
Once you hit that pube.
Right. Once you hit that first, like, kind of like, what is that curly hair on my dork?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Please don't say dork. You say dork, you call people dorks and stuff, but stop trying to bring it back to actually refer to any part of it. No, it isn't. I refuse to let it. That's just...
My dork is stuff right now.
I don't stop. Just stop it. That doesn't even make any sense.
I didn't use it.
Okay, well...
But from then on, from emotion, from 12 to whenever, like when you actually become a mature adult, when you're like 30 or whatever, it's just emotional booty call and sexual booty call.
I know. Yeah, it's... But at the same time, and that's why, like, it kind of irks me, because now we are at that age. Yeah. Like, I have friends who are getting married. I actually
really?
Yeah. I have friends who are getting married. People that I went to high school with got married and are getting married.
Do they have any kids?
No, not good. Yet. Oh my stepsister does.
Oh.
She's 18.
Oh.
No joke. I'm telling you, it's...
Is she it's engaged to the guy?
She married him already.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she married him last year.
That's one good
thing. He's in the army, so...
Okay, he's
gonna
get killed.
Point is that it's just kind of ethereal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ethereal, is that how you say
it? I don't think it's ethereal. I was gonna say, what word are you saying?
It's ethereal. It's what? Ethereal. I just finally heard that word pronounced properly today, and I've always read it, but it's right. Ethereal. All right.
But yeah.
Which means surreal. How about that?
It's, okay? It's surreal. Right?
It's to see that. Right. It kind of reminds you, like, huh? You know, like the other. But at the same time, that's just not for me.
No.
You
know what I mean? Not yet.
Like, yeah, exactly. When I get to that, maybe. But like, you know, you just there's way too much shit going on in the world, and I personally have like a lot of other stuff going on, and. You know, it's just not for me.
Here's the thing. And I was listening to this to on Loveline. As you know, I love that goddamn show.
I know.
But the thing is, chicks, when they find a guy, they want to get married. Guys, when we're ready, we want to get married. And we will pass up girls that beforehand we were like, I wish I married that chick.
Yeah.
But they weren't ready. You couldn't.
And that's just it.
What choice did you have?
That's just it. It's like...
You're 20 years old and you're dating, and you're like, this girl is perfect for me. We both love the same thing. She's really funny. She's great in bed. And all this other stuff. And you're like, well, I'm 20 though. I'm not gonna get married yet. And she's like, I want you to honk it out. And you're like, I'm 20. I haven't done anything.
Exactly.
I'm in sophomore year or junior year of high school.
I know.
Well, high school for me. But
it's there's a guy. One of my coworkers now. One of the guys I talk to constantly in the back. He moved here to Chicago from California. Right. He is studying to become a minister. He is in school. He's in Bible school. He's going to become a preacher or something like that.
Banana Republic.
Yes, he's. Also, he's married.
Oh.
He's married. He's been married for I don't know how long. It seems like a little while. But the point is that it's just... I'm talking to this guy, and we talk about a lot of the same stuff. We have similar senses of humor.
Uh-huh.
You know, talking about football and stuff. He'll jump in on a conversation, you know, like about a girl's hot, about a girl's not, everything like that. And I just can't even fathom...
Him being a minister.
Him being a minister, but also him being a husband.
Yeah.
It's all... It is more a minister than a husband because I can easily, you know, like there's a lot of guys that I know who talk like that and everything like that and then they're their husbands. But the fact that he is so close to my age, like there's another guy just like that who I talk to even more comfortably than him.
Yeah.
He's 27. He's got two kids and a wife. Okay. So the point is that like I'm looking around and I'm seeing these guys that are mentally at least
your age,
my age, sometimes even younger, like 27 year old guy. Yeah. He's talking like he's still in high school and stuff.
Right.
But the point is that these guys have families.
Yeah.
And I think about, like, back when, I mean, like, my dad, you know, he was 19 when I was born.
Right.
You know? Like, and then they got married. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, here I am, 21. I know I have no business being married and having a kid. It's just not for me. And it's kind of strange that you get reminded that people are different. People are different. Some people, I guess it might actually work for them.
You know? I would doubt it.
Really?
Well, you know I'm a narcissist, but... not a narcissist, but...
I'm a narcissist. You're cynic.
A nihilist and a cynic. But the thing is, no, you can't be a 20-year-old and raise a kid. You don't know how to raise yourself when you're 20.
That I will agree with.
You know
I don't
mean?
Think people know how to raise kids when they're 20. But that's why you go to your parents and grandparents for help. Like my stepsister, she's not raising the kid
of
on
course
his own.
Not.
On her own. Yeah,
I heard. Right, but the thing is, she shouldn't be having kids then.
Hey, I'm sure. As much as it pains me to talk about this, I really don't think it was a decision that was made and
agreed
upon.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, get on the birth control and pop on a condom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do know what you mean.
And what the hell? And now you've got
I've got a nephew, essentially.
Right. You've got a nephew because she wouldn't wrap it up.
Right.
And take the pill.
Yeah. So essentially, you know the. that way, the world is going to hell. Look, we got a population crisis. When you have hands, and people 18-year-olds
when you have kids. Idiots, when you have kids raising kids, and idiots taking care of other idiots and raising other idiots, and people. First of all, also, why are prisoners able to have conjugal visits?
I don't know.
I don't know either. They're getting their wives pregnant, and then they're having kids without any fathers.
It's probably some kind of a reward. It's like behavior.
Reward? No. Well, even if it's a reward, why are they getting it? You have a criminal who probably has like armed robbery, all this other kind of stuff. Now he's getting conjugal visits because he's got a wife.
Yeah, I know, but you just argue the same arguments about like the death penalty. It's like, well, you know, emotionally,
death penalty. You know, we're one less person. We're better off.
Yeah,
we're not cranking on another kid.
Yeah, you're. Yeah, you know, no, I know that. And again, talking about it here in this room,
yeah,
having it not apply to us is. It's easy to say, yeah, you know, death penalty, I totally agree with it. But I mean, like, what if it was, like, somebody you cared about, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if, you know, there's a situation that came up and, like, all of a sudden, you know, like, you found out that your dad was doing something, you know, like, you said your dad, he's had the same job for the last, you know, 20 years, right? Let's just say he'd been skimming money off the top for the last 20 years, and that's how he put you through school.
Right.
He goes to jail for that.
Yeah.
Okay? All of a sudden, they find out that, like, even though he might not have done a whole lot of stuff,
right,
that organization, like, linked him with all this other crap, and there was a snowball of events. Now your dad's on death row.
How the fuck did that happen?
I don't know.
Okay, fine.
I don't know how it happened.
Point is, I don't know either.
I'm sure you wouldn't. I don't even know if you know how it happened. But the point is, it happened. Okay. Now your dad's on death row. Is it so easy then to say that if you're on death row, we should just kill you because?
Here's the thing, and I am still towing the line between this because I'm like, well, you know, what if the guy's innocent? Killing an innocent guy, that's like one of the worst things you could do. So you just take the safe route out and you don't kill anybody. But then it's like, this son of a bitch murdered 3 kids and molested 8 of them and whatnot. Right, and you're just like, just fucking put a bullet in his goddamn head.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is going on? But like, police now, can't they just go, lost that bullet. I don't know where the casing is. You know what I mean? You know? Boom! And then just like, dump his body in a river.
Essentially be vigilantes.
First of all, I think we're all in love with the idea of vigilantes. You know what I mean?
After Boondock Saints, I think we are.
That, and once we saw Dog the Bounty Hunter. Well, first of all, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
When you say we, you mean you.
You never saw Dog the Bounty Hunter?
I've seen it, and I don't feel that vigilantes are cool.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone thinks bounty hunters are cool.
Yeah.
No?
Because of, well, you no, we do, but it's because of, like, Boba Fett, and because of, like...
Right, but the thing is, once you see him, and he's, like, using bear spray and stuff...
And his 4-foot-tall wife with, like, 3.5-foot-tall boobs.
Right. She's, like, wider than she is tall.
I know.
And, like, 87 kids. Those goddamn Pause people. It. Okay, so we had an interruption because we had to take his goddamn call.
I know. But anyway,
we're talking about his stepdad, or his dad.
Yes. My dad's got, he's had 8 kids. He's now 41. Had a vasectomy.
Good. Finally cut himself off.
Yeah. So the point is, he's got 2 kids through his new marriage.
Right.
So my dad is the father of 10 kids, legally. And we started talking about, the whole families, stepsisters, whatnot. And I wondered what MJ's position was on, if you have a hot stepsister, like if I was 12, 13 years old and my dad got married to my stepmom now, she had a daughter a little bit younger than me, and she wasn't hot, but I always used to dream that if she was,
you'd bang her.
Yeah. But, and now, you know, like obviously now I look back and I'm just like, what
was I thinking? Right.
What have
happened? But here's the thing. Biologically, it's cool, but, here's the thing. When you're 16 years old and all of a sudden, hypothetically, you've got a hot stepsister.
Yes.
And in reality, you had no relation to this girl beforehand. No. You didn't know her at all. She could have been just some girl at school. And now all of a sudden, you're put into the same house under her.
Right.
You know what I mean? She's taking a shower next to your room or whatever. You're sleeping, possibly, hopefully, in the same bed.
Right. Right.
And you're not expected to have some kind of weird feelings towards her and be confused about it, you know what I mean? Because your dad's telling you, this is your new sister. And you're thinking to myself, no, that's just some hot cheerleader.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's not my new sister.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. My sister is the,
that is the new object of my fantasies.
Right. My sister's the 5-year-old, who I obviously feel no attraction to, understandably.
Right.
That 19, or that 16-year-old who lives next to me and got,
an ass double that can swallow up a G-string.
Right, he's got double... I got those lyrics.
I know.
She's got double D's and she's got wearing a thong all the time.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to, feel like some kind of boner. Wake up always with boner, actually.
Yeah. Well, I do anyway. Morning wood.
Well, obviously, yes. But I would say keep it away from your parents, but I would...
If it happened, you would do it?
Yeah, I would be able to do it.
I guess... Think about this, though. Like, you're both 16 right. and, you agree consensually to, like, do stuff.
Then you get a girlfriend?
Yeah. I was unintentionally. Some emotions get involved. Even if they don't too much.
They always do.
20 years down the road. Yeah. Family reunions. Right. Okay. You got a family. She's got a family. You guys come back. Same house. And you're both remembering when you were 16 and you were banging in your, in the upstairs of your house. Like,
right, but hold on. Here's the thing. What 16-year-old thinks that far ahead? You know what I mean?
None of them.
Right. If you've got some girl with a bra and panties on and you're like, wait a second. 20 years from now, what am I going to... You're just like, oh my God, my dick's getting hard.
It's true.
She's getting wet. Let's get this game going. You know what I mean?
Let's play the no pants dance. And
right,
get this,
exactly. Yeah. So, I would say that, yeah, I think to myself now, well, I'm not going to do it, obviously, but I probably would have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But thankfully, your stepsister was unattractive.
Thankfully.
How old is she? Compared to you?
Now, she's 18, so...
It doesn't matter. She'll be 3 years.
Right. She's like, yeah.
Did that math pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm exhausted.
18, Yeah. So here's the thing. I would say that I got no qualms. And you know what? I was reading somewhere that it was by John Soslow, 2020. Cousins. There's no problem with, like there's that thing in the South, like they're just
dating
your cousin and whatnot. Apparently there's nothing biologically wrong with it.
Really?
Yeah. And...
How? You have to have some of the same genes.
Apparently,
right?
You have some of the same ones, but it's far enough apart for the most part.
Hmm.
But, just imagine that, dating your cousin, you know what I mean?
Hmm. And socially, you'd never be accepted.
Right. And right, but, you move over to... You
I was going to say, would you really want to have... I mean, I always thought having the kids
makes
was
them
the
autistic
problem.
Or retarded or
that's
whatever.
What I always thought the problem
apparently
was.
Apparently not. Makes them not retarded.
Okay.
Makes him unretarded, in fact.
Wow.
You can take a retarded baby, put him inside a cousin's body, and then he would become unretarded.
Wow.
That's, I think, a fact. But the thing...
I don't believe you. That's essentially the fountain of unretardation?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Okay.
But, okay. I have a... there's a classmate of mine. He's... And again, okay. We're going to school.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And we're 21, but we go to school sometimes with... 40-year-old. I have a 40-year-old guy in my class.
Oh yeah,
we got some probably 37-year-old lady in our
class. I have a guy who's getting close to 50.
It's weird.
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking to myself now, how am I going to get a job? And I've got 20 or 30 years left. This guy's starting out again.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what is he supposed to put on his resume? That he was in sales for 20 years and now he wants to get into radio?
No, I had this exactly. I had the exact same experience when I went out for a birthday party with a buddy of mine.
Right.
And he was it was his friend's birthday. My buddy goes to DePaul.
Okay.
And he's on the DePaul Film School. His friend is also there. We get there, meet everybody. His friend is celebrating his 36th birthday. And he's single, he's outlandish, very funny, very cool. I'm also pretty sure pretty gay, but I didn't ask him. Either way, though, he just said he was single, he didn't have anything going on, and he was starting his life fresh. He was, I would say, honestly, I didn't go to film school. Pat did,
right.
Okay? He, me and him make movies and such.
Right.
I felt, meeting a lot of these guys, that me and Pat had more experience than these guys did. This guy's starting fresh, 36, going to film school.
Right, when you're starting fresh, you got nothing going on.
Nothing going on. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? It really is such a gift to be able to pinpoint what it is that you want out of life.
Young. Right.
And in this world, when you've got a lot of years left to put into it, you know?
And that's, I think, that's what we have, what's one of the good parts about it. But I think, people who are, like, also in the same classes as us, and they have, like, a kid, like, one of my classmates, he has a kid, and, like, he couldn't go to school because he could, obviously he couldn't go to school because he had to take care of his kid, you know what I mean? And he had to pay for college, or not, like, had to pay, and his kid's autistic, but he had to pay for all these classes and all that kind of stuff. But even if it wasn't autistic, you'd still have pay for all the preschool, the food, all the insurance, all that kind of stuff. It's so expensive. You couldn't quit out, go to, like,
absolutely not. Explore your dream. That's exactly what it is. When you have a kid,
right,
your dreams, both you and your partners, they get put on hold. Because what has to happen is your life becomes about the kid.
Exactly. You have sacrificed your life for this child now.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that is why, literally, like, you know, when you're making the decision to have a kid, you have got to
plan it out.
Yeah. You've got to put, you can't just bring in the kid into the world and be like, well, it'll work out.
And no. And that's, I think that's what a lot of times some people do. They think to themselves, well, I'm depressed right now, or I really want to have a kid. You don't really want to have a kid. You have to want to give yourself up to that kid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, you think to yourself, oh, I want that kid so that I can love it and it'll love me and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No. The point of having the child, well, part of it is whatever you want to say, like biology and, like, passing on genes and whatnot, but it's to instill your beliefs
on
and
life.
Views
yeah.
on life.
What you've learned.
And to raise a child to hopefully be make better. The world better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But they do it, or a lot of kids and 16-year-olds and 21-year-olds and whatnot do it because they're bored, because a pet lizard wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. I feel like there's a lot of kids out there who have the kids because they've got nothing going on.
Yeah.
They
you're 18, you're out of high school, and you're not going to college, you're going to junior college,
you
and
got
no plans going on, whatever. Why not have a kid? You know what I mean? You got nothing else going on. You know, you're bored, you're living at your parents' house still, and you think to yourself, well, if I have a kid, my parents are going to help me take care of it.
Yeah.
That shouldn't even occur to anyone, that a parent should have... Like, I think to myself, when I leave my parents' house after college, I don't want to ever go back. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I think the same thing about having a kid. If I'm going to have a kid, I need to be able to raise it completely, well, not on my own, but completely with that other person that I'm with. I need to be able to provide for that child.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't have
because you think about it, like, with a kid...
Right.
They can't provide for themselves.
Of course not.
You know, brothers, sisters, friends, or whatever, it's like you care for them, you do what you can and everything like that, but in the end, they're going to feed themselves.
Right.
They're going to make, you know, need, you know, get the money that they need.
Right, that's your brother's
for anything
sister.
Like that.
They're autonomous. They can do what they want.
They can dress themselves.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to shit when they need to, everything
well,
like that.
Well, you have to help them sometimes.
Sometimes. You have to shake it. But with a baby... That's not the case.
Exactly.
You are bringing this fresh, untouched life
right.
into the world. You have got to shape its existence.
Right, exactly. And you know what else? I think, like, if you let your kid, if you let your parents raise your kid, you're not raising your kid.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Not.
Like, you think to yourself, oh, well, I'm going to school at the same time as I'm having a kid. My parents, you know, they take care of them while I'm at school.
Right.
And then I go to work. But then, you know, I love my kid and stuff. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You love your kid. You can't take care of him. You're not there 90-80% of the time.
Exactly.
The kid knows your mother as its mother.
Yeah,
not
or,
you.
Or a nanny, or your neighbor, or
right.
whoever.
Right, exactly. Or your best friend, or whatever, who
right.
has
who's
raised
it
for
it.
You.
Yeah.
And what is that about? You shouldn't... I mean...
You shouldn't have the kid
right.
unless you are totally prepared to devote yourself to it.
Exactly.
That's why it's kind of ironic that when you're in a state of irresponsibility,
you want
delve into this, the most committed responsibility
right.
that you've ever gone.
And
you know?
Getting married and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
right.
it's ultimately, it's extremely stupid.
And here's the thing, I think dumb people, they have kids more often than stupid people, but dumb people
most likely
don't take advice from smart people, because they're not smart enough to realize how dumb they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they think to themselves, I'm really smart, I know what I'm talking about, and then some like smart people go, No, listen, you don't want to have a kid just now. You still want to go to school, whatever, go to trade school if you need to, whatever. And then once you get a job, then you want to have a kid. And it's like, no, F that. I want to have a kid now. And it's like,
well, I think even if they don't decide ultimately just like that, like, I want to have a kid now, I think maybe it comes down to something different. Like, well, they just don't want to take action about the kid. They,
yeah,
they
don't want to give it up for adoption.
Don't want to give it up for adoption. Don't want to tell their parents about it.
Oh, my God. And,
until they've got it, which I think now...
That is from the dumbest moves you could possibly have.
Yes, yes, it is. But I think that, unfortunately, that probably happens...
Many times.
A bit. Quite a bit. Like, more than you'd think.
Yeah, I think it happens a lot, in fact, because you've got these parents who tell their kid, listen, you cannot get pregnant. You cannot get pregnant. Right. And the kid's pregnant.
Yeah.
And what is with it? You can't tell them, obviously. Exactly. They just told you you can't do it. But so you're not going to have an abortion.
Right.
And you think, just, well, I'll just take care of it. And then, like, you know, I'll wear some loose-fitting clothes. And then when I'm, like, I'm 6 months old, or when I'm 6 months long, and then, like, you know, when I'm 9 months long, and I'll just have the kid myself, I'll go to some emergency room, and I'll have the kid. It'll be great. And you think, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what kind of a parent would tell their kid, like, if I have a kid, I'm going to tell them, listen, you better not get pregnant, but if you do, you come to me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's. I feel like you can apply that method of parenting to any situation. It's like, you know, when, you know, kids feel that they can't talk to their parents about being gay or about that they want to, I don't want to use this example, but, you know, like joining the army or making a life choice, you know, anything like that. Like, they just feel that their parents wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Or that their parents would disapprove so heavily that they disown them.
Right.
Or kill them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And kids are so afraid.
Like, I couldn't talk to my mom about little stuff.
Who
you know, I can't talk to my mom about, you know, like, what's going on here at school? I can't talk to my mom about, you know, like what's going on at work? Like, how the hell am I going to tell her that, you know, I've got a kid on the way or that I've got, you know.
Big kid on the way?
Yeah,
is it hypothetical? From, okay, gotcha. From China. Gotcha. Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's just so ridiculous. And I think to myself, like, kids who, like, smoke weed and stuff, and all of a sudden they'll, or kids who are, like, heroin addicts and stuff, and they want to get off it. And they think to myself, well, my parents, they said I better never do drugs and stuff, and now I want to get help. I can't go to my parents.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, parents have to tell their kids that they can come to them when they've done something wrong, but to not do the thing. But if you have, you can be forgiven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got someone to go to. Because kids feel like they're all alone for the most part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I always, well, not always felt like I was all alone. But, you know, there's always a feeling like, you know, you're the only person going through this. But you're not.
Of course not.
I mean, you're one of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of kids who's going through the exact same thing.
Right.
And
which is why blogging and all this other, you know, communication, this new technology and stuff is so popular, which is why the internet has blown up the way it has, because it allows those people from across the world that are going through the same sorts of things...
To connect.
Right.
Speaking about connecting with each other, like, I think when they have those boards, like, about how to commit suicide...
What?
There's like message boards and stuff where people are like talking about how much they want to commit suicide and how they're going to do it and what's the best option and stuff. And I'm sure you could look up on like Google or whatever, like, safest method or painless method to commit suicide or whatever. I'm sure it's out there.
Of course.
And then I think to myself, like, what kind of a organization or whatever is, or what kind of a community is this? You know what I mean? We're all talking about how much you want to kill each other.
They're probably arguing that it's therapeutic in a way. Because, you know, there's a lot of cases where people are talking about suicide and it's really just a cry for help.
Yeah.
And that's all they want is the attention.
Yeah.
Well, instead of now driving their parents crazy, driving their friends crazy and stuff because they keep talking about suicide... They go home and blog every night and talk to this guy that's, you know, in another state.
Yeah.
And he tells them, you know, I just had this really, really shitty day.
Right.
And I'm really going to do it tonight. And he tells him how he's planning on doing it and thinking the whole thing. And at the end of it, he breathes a big sigh of relief. And this guy says, you know what, man, I'm right there with you. Good luck or whatever and stuff like
good that. Good luck? What did you say that for? But here's the thing. A lot of them say, like, yeah, do it tonight. Yeah, you should really do it.
They're right. That's what I'm saying.
Who would say that to another person who's talking about committing suicide?
You're asking the wrong guy. I have no idea.
I think the majority of the time, the people on the other end who are saying, like, yeah, you should definitely do it, don't think the person's going to do it. You know what I mean?
Because
all you've got is text to each other, and you're just like, this person's going to commit suicide. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're just not returning their phone call. Or they're not returning their IMs. Hey, he hasn't been on for 7 months. What's going on? Did he change messages? Or did he change his address or his name or whatever? What happened? No, he probably killed himself.
Yeah. And I was talking to him that night. I'm pretty sure nowadays the cops would have shown up at his door the next day if there was a text from or a message with this other guy.
Why? Cops are watching for parking tickets and, you know, sex offenders.
No, actually, that was pretty stupid.
Not for suicide.
I think it was if there was a risk of homicide.
You think to yourself, like, okay, well, if the parents notice, then they're going to tell the cops immunity.
Yes.
Okay, one of the things that I don't get, like, when parents do that, they're obviously doing it for the help of their kid, but they just don't, they freak out too much, you know what I mean? Like, they go on lockdown mode.
What do you expect? I mean, like, I guess they don't know what to do, and I mean, how right. afraid does that make somebody?
I understand, but they overreact, and you're like, don't just, the worst thing you could possibly do is overreact right now, because the kid is, like, he's feeling vulnerable, and he's feeling like no one, like, loves him, all this kind of stuff, and even though his parents think to themselves, like, we're showing him enough love and stuff like that. Now you're going to put him on lockdown. He's not going to school. He's not seeing whatever friend he may have had. You know what I mean? And all he's got is now he's in his room and his computer's out. What is he going to do? He's bored out of his mind. Yeah. You know, I guess he's just going to see a therapist.
It's true. Well, yeah. Forget the therapist. I guess I just... What I would... If it was me, I mean, if not even just a kid, but if somebody I care about, it's just kind of like... What else can you do but try and listen?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, you're not a therapist. You're not... You don't have answers for this sort right. of situation. The best thing you can probably do is listen to the person, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they've got a problem that's driving them to think like this...
That was me.
Yeah. No.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. But if they've got a problem that's leading them to think like this, you just got to be like, you know, what is it? What's the problem?
Right.
Why are you thinking this
but
way?
But you don't know as a parent what it is, so you have to go to a therapist.
Yeah, but you can let your kid try and tell you. If he's not willing to tell you, or if they're not willing to do anything, then you take him to a therapist, because they're professional. But you got to try it yourself first.
But then think to yourself, what would we do in that situation? How much did we talk to our parents about? Nothing. And they could rip our teeth out, and we'd tell them nothing. And we would just tell them, like, the minuscule parts, you know what I mean? Like, if this kid was being beaten up at school, he's like, oh, some kids are teasing me. You're not going to tell him the whole truth, because that's what kids do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, you got to go to a therapist. Because I would assume that...
What makes you think they're going to talk to a therapist, though? Like, if they're not talking to the parents, how are they going to talk to this stranger?
Because it's... Because you talk to your friends who are, you know... Well, your friends are different, but...
Yeah.
But you talk to a teacher, you talk to someone else like that, who you know and you sort of trust better than your parents. You know what I mean? Because you think...
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So I would think you talk to a therapist more truthfully than you talk to about your parents or whatever, you know what I mean?
Perhaps. Yeah, that's one way to think about it.
And going back to, like, about kids having kids and all that kind of stuff. Or not kids having kids, but people irresponsible having kids.
Right.
Mad Men.
Mad Men?
Yeah, Mad Men.
Great show.
Yes. The point is, though, it didn't seem like that was the case back then. You know what I mean? Guys were, like, 40 years old or 30 years old and stuff like that. And then he went off to get a job. And then the wife would be back at home with the kids, which is a job.
Yeah, you
know, let's be honest. So being a homemaker is a job, and
more than full time. You don't get any time off,
right? And then being a homemaker, and the dad makes the money or the father makes the money,
right?
And then, but he has a plan. You know what I mean? As much as he would go and, you know, possibly sleep with the secretary or go out with the boys to a trip to Vegas, and the wife, you know, unfortunately didn't have much say in that conversation. He's bringing home the bacon.
At least in... I know what you mean about the time period, and that probably more often than not that was the case. But in Mad Men, the main character, the Draper guy,
right.
His wife definitely owns him.
Right.
Like, there was one episode that I was just watching recently where he operates without a contract. He works for his advertising company without a contract and always has because he believes that gives him the power. They were like... They waved this contract in front of his face that they wanted badly, and he wouldn't sign it, like, right. No matter what they said to him. He goes home... His wife gets a call from the guy at the ad agency telling her the situation. She talks to him about it one night. He goes off, gets pissed, pulls off his steam. Next day, goes in and signs the contract. Another episode, he was going to Rome. Total business trip. You know, he's going there. The last minute, like, before he goes, she just, like, the night before he's going, she just, like, turns to him and wakes him up. And she's like, I kind of want to go with you to Rome. And he's like, yeah, it's totally fine. And they left the kids with a sitter. And they went to Rome and they had a great time.
No, here's the thing, though. I think to myself, like, did we lose something from then? When the mother and the wife, whatever, is at home making, being a full-time mom, and the dad is there?
I don't think we lost anything. I think that the women who don't want that type of life became extremely outspoken about it. And now...
And they spoke out for everyone else.
Yes. And now I think the feminist movement, or equal rights for men and women, I think that... That scenario that we just talked about is considered sexist.
Yeah, totally.
But there are still plenty of women out there who want that scenario. I've talked to a lot of women who, when they get older, they just want to marry rich and be a housewife.
well, most of them, let's be honest, want to marry rich, so of course. They're
you're
taken
right.
care
that,
of.
That, yes, that's you know true. I mean? Sorry, that was a bad example. What I mean to say is that I do know girls who do want to have kids, and when that happens, they just want to put their time into caring for those kids.
I don't know many of those girls.
I've met quite a few.
Most of the girls
and
I
they
know.
Are our age.
Right, but most of the girls I know, I would say, they want to have a job, and they want to go do something, whatever.
I know plenty of girls like that, too.
And, but is that a thing where, like, you do that because you can't make enough money as just your own job? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like that's what it was. Like, the dad at the time, or the father at the time, made enough money for both of them. He made enough money to care for the kids, pay for the house, and all that kind of stuff. And
are
now
you referring to Mad Men specifically, or
no,
the time
no, no,
period?
No, just the time period.
Okay, well, because I think I think it differed just like it does now, though. There was middle class, there was upper class, and there was lower class. I think even if the dad was the only one working, if he didn't have that great of a job, the family probably lived tight.
Right, but if you think to yourself, well, okay, well, we had one guy making, you know, whatever, 80K a year.
Right.
Right?
It's like 50. If
it was well, whatever, 50K a year. He's pulling out 50K a year. Now, you got a wife. Mm-hmm. Add to that, maybe she's pulling down 30 or 40K a year. Now you got 90K. You got $90,000 a year. That's great. But for some reason, there's still that lower middle class. How did that happen? Obviously, it's not working out. Obviously, I think that what happened is, with more people getting into the workforce, including women, now they're able to pay them less and pay everyone less because, like, if you get fired, there's two more people. Instead of just a guy, there's a guy and a girl who's there ready to, you know,
yeah, that's true. That's true, but I don't think they can pay anybody less. I mean, the minimum wage has gone up.
No. What I mean is that if you've got a middle-class job where you're working in an office and all that kind of stuff, and you're not making enough money by yourself to pay for it, and your wife has to go get a job,
right?
Then you think to yourself, well, now we're going to be pulling down double the money. And if you think to yourself, way back when, during Mad Men days, the man was able to earn enough money by himself to pay for a house.
Okay? Right, right.
So the guy himself is able to pay for the house. But nowadays, you have to have both people making enough money to pay for a house. It's very rare when one person is making enough money for both parties. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both people have to work a job.
It's true, unless the person is, I would say, a doctor or very, very successful in whatever field that they're
right.
in.
Right, and I would say it's because you've got now two people instead of just a man and just a man going after your job. You got a man and a woman going after your job. I think that by putting them into the workforce, they're now lowered the amount of money that everyone is being paid. Well, not everyone, but I thought like top class, whatever, high class. But the majority of people are getting paid less because you've got more people who are wanting to work.
Probably.
When you got more supply and you've got the same demand.
That's true. Think about, back in Mad Men days, or let's just say like the 1950s, there were how many million people in the United States? Like less than 3?
Yeah.
Less than 300?
Definitely.
And now there's well over 300.
Yeah.
So you just figure there's a lot more people. Yeah. You know, the 60s boomed, you know what I mean? Like
the 60s dude was.
I don't know. But it boomed a lot of, you know, people into the population. And just like with all that, now there is a lot of problems with it. Like we were talking about, you know, like with older people, like, because they're not working, but they're still here taking up space.
Or the fact that they're working and they're not getting, or they're making, twice the amount of money that they're making. Their paycheck is what two people who are entry-level positions would be. So instead of hiring two new people, they've got to keep one person on the job.
Yeah.
So that's two people who are out of a job. Because this old person is, A, able to live a lot longer,
right,
and B, doesn't want to leave. What are they going to do? What do old people do?
Well, I think a place would, if the person was that old where they stopped being efficient.
No, they're efficient enough, but that's the thing. They don't want to leave well. Why would they want to leave?
Of course. What are you going to do? A lot of people, like, if they've been working a job for a long time, the prospect of retirement, like, they don't even know what they do with themselves.
Right. You sit at your house and you watch Jeopardy with...
Exactly. Trust me, that is not the type of retirement I'm planning on having.
I don't think anyone wants that. Some people do, obviously, want it as a retirement. But you want to be still active and you want to feel like you're actually contributing something to the community. And the main way you do that is with a job.
Mainly, I just think that, like...
But you're keeping your four grandkids out of a job because you and your husband don't want to quit.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're getting paid so much money. You're getting paid $80,000 a year as opposed to the two of them are your two grandsons who would be...
But they also turn around and support those grandkids most of the time.
But...
Send them a check
for
$20 on birthday.
Is that your grandma?
Yeah.
But the point is that now this grandkid who's 20 years old isn't able to get a job and able to support himself.
It's true. It's just that the old people don't see that step.
I understand. You know what I mean? But I do. So let's knife them.
All right? Hey, don't get me wrong. I am all for it. Just stay away from my grandma and grandpa. And
oh, yeah. It's always my grandma and grandpa.
It's my grandma and grandma. Both my grandpas are dead.
Mine, too.
Really?
I think we went over this before.
Jeez. Well, what else was I going to say? I had a couple other things. I wanted to go over, you brought up Mad Men. We already talked about it. It is, since I've started watching it, only in the last couple of weeks, though, it's been on top of the Emmy list for the last, 3 years, ever since it came out. It is a great show. And the reason being is because, as I was saying to you before we started this, it's because, unlike Heroes, which I also love and I'll get to, and a lot of other shows that are plot-driven, Mad Men is propelled by the characters.
Yeah.
They make the story happen. It's easy to see what events are coming and such because of the characters. You know what decisions they're going to make, but you still love it because those characters are awesome and interesting, dynamic.
Do you think it's also great. It's because, and maybe it's not, but I'm just thinking, also it's because it's back to the days of the 50s or the 40s or whatever.
The time period is definitely a big pull of the show. It's very nice to see
the people who are on the Emmy and who my parents and their when my parents were alive, they heard stories from their grandparents about that time or whatever, and so now they're able to see that and live that out or whatever through Mad Men. So I think that's part of why it's such a highly rated show.
Seeing it. You know, it's a very different time, and it's not it's there's no mistakes. You know, there's no plot inconsistencies. Right. There's no continuity errors.
Right.
They don't, nobody's costume is slipped up and out of date. No, there's no music that they play that's out of date.
Someone's in a spacesuit.
Yeah, there's no stupid little errors that take you out of the show, because there's a lot of TV shows that little things like that can happen. Mad Men is not one of them. Whoever's in charge of ultimately putting everything together is on the ball. They obviously take it seriously. Reason I bring that up though is because of Heroes, as I was just going to say.
Heroes is like Lost, let's be honest.
In a way.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I love the show now, again, but I definitely lost that love through seasons 2 through 4. A lot of inconsistencies. Nobody really died. All the rules
Allie
that they
Larder
set...
died, twice.
6 times, at least. No joke. And yet her character's there.
Right.
All the rules that they make get broken. It's just... They make decisions where the plot goes, and then they change their minds, or they don't close it off, and they just open another door. It's it's really, really frustrating. But the point is that now it seems that they got back to the roots, when they first started the show, and it was really appealing.
Right.
Now that's back to where they are. But the reason I talk
when
about...
When nothing happens.
Yeah, kind of. No, actually not at all.
Well, it seems as though nothing happens.
It's not that nothing happens. It's now
things happen incrementally.
What?
Things happen in small bits. Each episode is not a huge turn of events.
No, of course not. Now things are, they're starting other storylines, they're bringing other characters into it that are blossoming on their own.
Right.
You know? And they're not trying to explain this entire character's story in one episode and then have the climax and shit.
Right.
Now they are letting episodes blossom into what they show little bits of characters' lives in the one episode.
That's much better.
It is much better. But the reason I bring up continuity and inconsistencies and such is because there was a scene that I was watching in last week's episode, and it involved Hiro, the Asian guy of time and space, and he had been jumping back and forth through time periods, trying to save this one guy who was suicidal, oddly enough. And he kept trying to talk him out of doing whatever he's doing. He said he at the end of the show, he says he does it 40 times, trying to help this guy.
All right, forget it.
He does. That's what he does. He's like, I've tried to save you 40 times, and
And then that turns it around?
Yes.
Of course it does.
But the point is that, and the second time he comes up to this guy, he jumps on the roof, and as he's running up to the roof, you see that he, from where he just came, somehow he had ink smeared on his face, something with the story. He goes up to the roof, and they used a shot from the first time he did it, so he had no ink on his face.
Okay.
They cut, and that's what they show. And then they cut back when he's talking to him. They're standing side by side.
Ink on the face?
Ink is right back. And I'm like, you know what? I don't notice that stuff too much, but when it's a close-up, and it's a cut and a cut back, and then there's ink, and then there's no ink, that'll take anybody out of the story.
Yeah.
You really, really gotta pay attention to that shit. That's 101 right there, you know? That's breaking the fourth wall.
Well, yeah, it is. And, you think to yourself, wasn't the editor or the director, being like, wait, where's that line of ink on your face, whatever?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
In fact, I think
we'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
Right. Never do.
They never do. No, it's only because there's so much you can do. Like, they segue, they use a transition shot from the first time that they took the shot without the ingrown space. And that was, and since they cut and they inserted that in between, that's why all of a sudden there was none and then there was some.
Well, here's the thing. Did you just hear me?
No.
Okay, good. The thing is, Lost was that way. Lost was great, you know what I mean? Because it was like a show where there was, like, you know, mysteries coming up all the time. But they closed the loops. Or you expected them to at least close the loop because there was, like, that dinosaur character. Like, when you hear, like, did you ever watch Lost?
No, I never watched Lost.
Well, in the very first, like, season or whatever, there was, like, this huge thing that sounded like a dinosaur T-Rex or whatever. But you never heard
what it was.
It was, like, rustling in the leaves and stuff. And then, like, you just saw, like, it cut away. And then people would be dead when they come back to it. You have to go, oh, what is it? Is it a dinosaur? Did they move through time? All that kind of stuff. And, like, you think to yourself, okay, well, now we're going to eventually figure out what it is. You know, maybe the next season. Maybe the season after that. And then it turns out to be this, like, black smoke that has its own consciousness and can, like, kill people and all this weird kind of stuff. The point is, though, like, Lost was good in the sense, like, heroes, like, there's always new people and they're, like, you know, coming up with powers and, like, figuring out new things about the area, like, oh, what do the numbers mean, all this other kind of, oh, look, the numbers add up to this, and there's, like, all these, like, hidden messages and stuff. But then eventually you're just like, wait a second, you're going through time, you're doing this weird space stuff, and when they promise that they're going to explain it in the next season, that's just a cop-out for me.
Like, fuck, I agree.
Like, fuck that.
I agree.
All right, guys, we got to figure out how did this guy die, but this guy not die, and him go back in time, and how does the black smoke have any consciousness, and how does it all relate to some kind of religion thing, and...
Right, I agree. And not explaining that is very much
and it seems like you're just running so far ahead, and you're not thinking that. You
know, same thing happened with Heroes.
Right, you're just thinking, like, okay, we'll just get it done, we'll do this amazing scene, all these amazing scenarios, and get people hooked in, we'll explain it later, don't worry about it.
That is what happens.
It's not story, the story isn't laid out beforehand, you're just, like, you're running by the seat of your pants, you're just like, we'll fix it.
And that is why, ultimately, and in the end, that stuff is never interesting, it doesn't last.
Right.
That is why Heroes ratings have gone steadily down ever since the first season.
Yeah.
And hopefully... What I'm hoping is that, I think it was you who told me that there was a new
the director or something of this amazing show, Pushing Daisies, which nobody unfortunately watched except for me.
What was it?
It was so good.
Was it around for one season or something?
It was on for like 2.5, I think, maybe seasons. It was so goddamn good. And you know what? They did the thing that Heroes didn't. They kept to their rules. The guy could touch a dead person and they could be alive for 60 seconds for 1 minute, and then if they were kept past the 1 minute, then someone else had to die, or someone relevant or someone equal to had to die. But if you touched them again ever, they would die again and then would come back to life.
And
he had this girl, whatever, who he was in love with or whatever, she died and he saw that she was dead, and then so he put her back to life, but he can never touch her again,
right?
Because
lest she would die.
Die, right. So then they had to figure out all these other ways, like kissing with saran wrap in between them. But the point was, they kept to the damn rules. Heroes doesn't.
I could see why that would be frustrating, though, why the show might not have lasted. Because that is a huge, huge plot thing, and if you're going to stick to it... Because
they kept to it.
Of course. I'm just saying that if and as it seems, for like 2.5 seasons, he can't touch this girl...
Yeah.
Sticking to the rules is necessary, and it's great. But I feel like... sometimes certain things gotta change.
Nope. You can't break that. It was the one rule that... It wasn't the one rule, but they had many rules, and that was the one that they stuck to, and I gotta give them props for that.
Hey, no. Props to them as well. I'm just saying, they might still be around if they had found... if either something had happened.
You know,
like, because think about it this way, too. With that sort of thing... I mean, they're spending all their time together. They're, you know, they're in love, obviously. They take such great care so he never actually touches her.
Well, it's really weird how much they take it.
Yeah, right? You got to think, like, two people spending all that time together actually having an adult relationship.
Eventually,
like, eventually he is going to touch her.
But you know what? It was such a goddamn good show. It was so well written and so many goddamn alliterations. It was so great.
Really?
No,
it sounds good. Did you ever watch the show Dead Like Me?
Yes,
it was on,
I did watch
it was
that
on
show.
HBO, yeah. Or Showtime.
That was,
is that right?
Well, it was Showtime.
I think it was Showtime.
It was a similar show.
Two seasons.
It was like Grim Reaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't that similar, except it involved spirits.
Dead people.
Like, after death, that sort of thing. Also a very underrated and good show.
Yeah,
I thought
good
Dead show. Like Me lasted 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And it was also extremely good.
Yeah. Although they did break their rules, because I remember like one of the things that they said was that no one can see them as they are, or whatever. And they always like looked like someone, something else. When they saw themselves, like the first season, she saw herself in like a mirror, or whatever, and she didn't look like her, and she looked like a lot uglier than herself.
Yeah.
But the one hot chick who was also a Grim Reaper, she was hot still.
She was hot still, and somebody recognized her.
I think someone did recognize
her. I definitely remember an episode where this old woman, because she was an actress or a celebrity from her time period.
F that, you can't do that.
I know.
Broke your rule.
I know. And that's exactly what it is, isn't it? See, that stuck out. Two seasons, and that's what I remember.
Yeah. You can't break the rules.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
Okay. We're editing it. Just
go with it. I hate you so much.
Just go with it.
All right, so that was it for this week for our very first episode.
Of Avoiding People.
With Donna and MJ. That was great. And we're going to see you next week.
Yeah, thanks for listening.